Within the pages of the Bible are the answers to man's most pressing needs. As you listen to the following message, you're encouraged to write down the scripture references as they are given, and to accept only what you can read for yourself from your own Bible. If you wish, you are also welcome to tape record this entire presentation for future study. All quotations are taken from the King James Version of the Bible, unless otherwise indicated.
This is Bible Call Tape number 259, Importance of Religious Unity. How many times have you heard the admonition, go to the church of your choice? Probably, if you're like most people, you've heard it too many times to count. That phrase reflects the current opinion about our denominational system, that it is good and convenient, that it has something for everybody, and if you don't like the religion you're in, you can just shop around till you find one more suited to your taste. Such a system, men reason, must be pleasing to God since it's so convenient to man. Well, it isn't. Jesus' desire for his followers is religious unity. He said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, not my churches, or my system of denominationalism. In John 17, in one of his last prayers to God in this life, Jesus prayed for unity of all those who would follow him in the future. He said, verse 11, of his followers then, especially the 12 apostles, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. He said in John 17:20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And then Jesus reveals the importance of this unity, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And once again, the same idea is repeated in verse 22 and 23. One of the biggest stumbling blocks to the unbelieving world is the division of professed followers of Christ, and God knew it would be so. And if his plan for unity of all believers were realized, it would stand before the heathen world as an undeniable witness to the truth of God as the Bible reveals it. The Corinthian church was the first in New Testament times to begin breaking up into factions or parties, the seeds of denominationalism. The Christians there were beginning to align themselves behind great men of faith rather than behind Christ himself. Some were saying, 1 Corinthians 1:12, I am of Paul, others, I am of Apollos, yet others, and I am of Cephas, or Peter. Men yet today make the same mistake. I am of Luther, or I am of John the Baptist, or I am of Joseph Smith, or I am of a certain method of worship, and so on. What was said about the situation? Did the Apostle Paul say, this is a good thing you're doing, now there's something for everybody? No, he said this in verse 13. Is Christ divided? He said. Was Paul crucified for you? Were ye baptized into the name of Paul? This is the shameful result of denominationalism, even in its beginning stages. The dividing of Christ himself. Paul's advice to the Corinthians was, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Can that be said of the denominations today? That there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment, 1 Corinthians 1:10. Can that, by any stretch of the imagination, describe the current flock of denominations? The denominational system is as far from God's desire as night is from day. God expects unity, perfect unity, in his followers. That in itself makes it important. Ephesians 4, 4 and 5 describes the nature of Christianity as God would have it. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. How many bodies or faiths or hopes should there be? As many as there are gods, lords, or spirits, one. Anyone who thinks religious unity is not important, or that division is good, just doesn't know or doesn't care what God wants. In his picture of a shepherd over the sheepfold, Jesus even said, John 10:16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Is this an impossibility? Did Jesus pray an unanswerable prayer? Did Paul demand of the Corinthians that which cannot be done? Certainly not. God is a reasonable God and would not demand an impossibility. Fulfillment of his will in this will, however, require some major changes in the religious world as it exists today. Listen to tape number 259A for the solution.
The message you have just heard was brought to you by the Church of Christ.